which is the first of all commandments. I was just wondering, and I confess I didn't Google, but it would be interesting, I think, or fascinating to think about in our lives and to find out possibly what's the average or how many questions do we ask or hear every day? Because questions become an opportunity to learn, discover, connect, whatever it might be, gather information. But to think that God's Word, and especially the Gospels, many times Jesus poses questions, like, to what shall we compare the kingdom of God, as an example? Or to say that others also ask Jesus about certain things. You know, a couple weeks ago, it was a young man who came and approached Jesus, bowed before him, and asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus reminded him of the basic commandments. And then he added a second thing. He also said, go and sell all your possessions that you have, give them to the poor, and come and follow me. And we knew that the young man, as we hear, struggled to do that because he really felt he couldn't let go of things that maybe possessed him. But today, it's not a trap, it's not a challenge, but it's an invitation. As Jesus then responds to this man's question, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. Now, obviously, as we listen, we've heard it twice today, and the first part of this prayer and response of Jesus comes from Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, which is the fifth book of the Pentateuch. Deuteronomy is known as the second law, because scholars believe that it's also a book that articulates the code of civil and religious laws that also were reiterated or inserted by Moses as he tried to guide the holy people on their journey to the promised land. Right before this, even Moses repeated the Ten Commandments as he gave them, as God gave them, again, encouraging and stressing the need to know them and to follow them, even as they went into the new land that they were going to inherit. Moses also knew that the new land was prosperous, but it also had temptations, and there were different peoples who worshiped many gods. And so we can kind of get a context to think about why Moses said, remember the Lord God. Remember, he is the one. And then to love him with your whole heart, your soul, your mind. And then strength. Faithfulness to these commands is a daily expression of the Bible, what we might also call fear of the Lord. Now, it's not a fear like we might fear darkness or heights or maybe deep waters like myself, but to think of a fear that is one of awe, one of reverence, one of mystery. It's almost a certain kind of fear that attracts us to God's holy presence, huh? His covenant. This prayer that Jesus responds is also, especially in the Old Testament, known as the Shema or Shema. And it's even today, modern day Jews recite this prayer or summary of the covenant as a reminder and as part of their prayer to saying God invites them to live, to love, and to care for others, huh? Now, Jesus in the gospel, it's twice where he would do this. He not only honored the one God, but he kind of added to it because he was one who came to fulfill the law, which means to stretch it and even make it more inclusive and also maybe in some ways challenging so that we can grow and become like the goodness of God. He added the second part, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so we know that these commandments then were intended not to oppress us, but to help us gain freedom and then to know the passageway that leads to life. But obviously, we can say that they are challenging at times, huh? But God's love is not only something that reminds us about intention, but it's a hopefulness of embracing the greater good, knowing that we too are pilgrims on the journey. Our hope is to attain eternal life. And so God, and even through the scriptures, speak to us, to not only allow us to hear, but to know that God is a hopefulness that we can share in this eternal glory. But we have to know God, love him, and serve him and others. And then, as we follow also Christ. Now, Jesus responded to this young man's plea already as he has entered Jerusalem, knowing for him the end of his life is drawing near. So he too was trying to articulate to the disciples and to others who were following him, saying, remember the covenant, because sooner or later I would seal this covenant with my own blood as he died on the cross. Again, revealing the fullest fashion of his love, his mercy, his compassion for God's people. The challenge is, I think once in a while, we might forget about this love of God from all directions, huh? In Mark's gospel, it's only him who articulates it in such a way that it says to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And for me, that means from all directions, that there is not just a possibility of one side, but all sides, our total self, huh? Now, there is one thing that we sometimes maybe struggle with, and that's not only knowing that God's love is real and for us, but how it might invite us into another part of our life. So I want to share with you a story. So it's about Charles and Henry. They were good friends. They'd known one another since childhood, but they're already kind of in middle years. And Charlie has been kind of undergoing some challenges and has struggled sometimes with memory lapses, maybe senior moments. And so he was heard in a conversation talking to his friend Henry, kind of bragging about some new adventures. And so Charlie says, Henry, you won't believe that I found a fantastic clinic that I've discovered to improve my memory. The place is staffed with fantastic experts and with all kinds of techniques and aids to improve my memory, and I believe it's working. And Henry listens, and he says, well, that sounds great. What's the name of the place? And Charlie doesn't respond. Charlie continues. He says, they teach us how to use certain mnemonic devices and to drill us in practice sessions. It can really be helpful. Again, Henry says, what's the name of the place? And Charlie doesn't respond. And then Charles continues. He says, my recall of names and dates has improved tremendously. And again, Henry says, what's the name of the place? Still no response. Charles finally says, well, first, let me ask you a question. What's the name of the plant that has bright colored flowers and thorns on the stems? And Henry says, well, that's a rose. And so Charles turns to his wife and he says, Rose, what's the name of that place? Sometimes it takes us certain steps to arrive at the right place. But we also need reminders, huh? Reminders of God's love and also reminders of other things that God's love is connected to, and that is faith. So as Jesus was also kind of emphasizing the love of God and our neighbor, this is what one commentator said, that forgetfulness can also lead to doubting God's caring presence in our lives. And so remembering God's past and acts of loving kindness fuels our faith. And I believe that at times we need to be mindful of that attribute of God's love and hope, that they also fuel our faith. And knowing that as we pilgrim, as we journey through life, we maybe don't pass through the desert, but there still are challenges that we encounter, our own crosses, and the moments where we slip and think that God doesn't love us because we sin. And yet God has confidence that he draws us back because of his merciful love. Let us pray as we celebrate the Eucharist this morning that we're also aware and that we never forget God's love, because we know that Jesus revealed that and poured out himself for us, that we could be strengthened so that we can love with our whole mind, our heart, our soul, and our strength.